Welcome back to the Royal Studies podcast. I'm very excited to have not one, but two guests with me today to talk about a brand new book series, which I think is going to be a fantastic addition to the field of Royal Studies. So the new book series is called Monarchy, History and Culture with Amsterdam University Press. And it's seeking to publish studies on monarchy, both individual and comparative, from the ancient world to the French Revolution. It has a very broad scope. It's encompassing monarchs who succeeded by hereditary right, conquest or election, and isn't restricted to monarchs bearing the title of king or queen. They're looking for proposals for monographs and essay collections, and they encourage interdisciplinary work seeking to transcend traditional geographic and chronological boundaries. They're also interested in representations of pre-modern monarchies in the modern media and the publication of transcripts and translations of relevant primary sources. And here with me today are the two kind of leading lights of the series. So we have the key editor, Aidan Norrie, who I will introduce. Now, you may have been familiar with Aidan before. Aidan's been on podcasts with us before, but just in case you're not already familiar with Aidan's work, Aidan is lecturer in history and literature and the program leader of the BA in English and History Studies at University Campus North Lincolnshire. They are managing editor of the London Journal, the author of Elizabeth I and the Old Testament, Biblical Analogies and Providential Rule with AUPARC that came out last year in 2023. And the co-editor of collections, including the amazing English Consorts collection, which is fantastic. Aidan looked after the Tudor and Stuart consorts, but also kind of oversaw the entire kind of four-volume set, and also Women on the Edge in Early Modern Europe. So again, if you didn't catch the episode when we talked about English consorts, that's something you could go back to on the podcast. And also with me is the acquisitions editor for the series, Erica Gaffney. So many of you might already be familiar with Erica for her work with Amsterdam University Press, where she acquires books for their history list, primarily in early modern studies. She was previously with Ashgate, so you may have been familiar with her work there. And she's the founder of the Art Her Story Project, which is absolutely fantastic. If you're not already kind of following that or checking that out, we're going to have links for you in the show notes so that you can find out more about that as well, and all the places where you can follow her on relevant social media channels. Now, not with us today, but I also want to give an honorable mention to the rest of the editors on the series. So you've got Carl Christian Alvestad, a former colleague of mine at Winchester, who's now in the University of Southern Norway. Louise Berglund at Uppsala University, the host of Kings and Queens last year, if you were with us there. Katarzyna Kosiorek at Northumbria University, Lloyd Llewellyn Jones at Cardiff University, Katrina Murray at the University of Edinburgh, and Diana Pérez Flores at the Universidad de Santiago de Compostela in Spain, who, again, these are many familiar faces from the field of royal studies and a really fantastic lineup that you've got there. So thank you so much, Aidan and Erica, for coming on the podcast today. And I wanted to ask you to start, what inspired the creation of this new book series?
It's a very good question, and one that I've been thinking about. The field of royal studies is expanding, which is great, but there's not a natural home for more what you might call traditional studies of monarchy. There's lots of series that are interested in gender or kind of power and exercising power. But if we kind of think about the kinds of things that are being done in royal studies at the moment, they don't have a kind of natural fit anywhere. And so this sort of felt like a good place to address that gap.
Fantastic. Yes, I agree with you. There's a lot of those things on queenship or monarchy and money and court studies, etc. But you're right, there needs to be kind of a home for all sorts of things in terms of monarchical history.
Yeah, well, I was thinking really, if you wanted to do something, which I'd sort of thought about in a very kind of abstract way, if you wanted to do a kind of something on the history of kind of unofficial monarchical election in England, where would that fit necessarily? It's not a gender thing. It's not really about power per se. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And Erica, from your perspective as a publisher, how do you feel this book series fits in with the field of royal studies or just more broadly in the field?
I'm thinking of it kind of first and foremost in the context of pre-modern studies. I feel as though the series fills a gap in Amsterdam University Press's list. That is to say, there are a number of series that we have that focus on the pre-modern period, but this series promises to address material that we wouldn't have captured otherwise. And I think it's always important and interesting to have a different perspective on a historical topic, which is to say, to look at the issue of pre-modern monarchy from an angle that no other series and no other publisher does. And I feel as though Aidan has captured a really interesting angle that will reward exploring.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm really excited for this. I do think this is a really kind of a fantastic idea for a book series. I'm sure you're going to be flooded with proposals. So, what kinds of books and proposals are you most hoping to see for the new series? Like, what are the kind of books that you think, oh, it'd be really exciting if someone would pitch us something on X or Y or
That's a really tough question because I just want to say everything. I am really interested in monarchies that don't bear the title of king and queen. So, things like, the Grand Duchy of Tuscany, it is a monarchy in every sense of the word. It just doesn't have the title monarchy. So I am looking forward to things that consider a sort of wider range of monarchical systems, which then obviously allow you to do sort of larger comparative studies. Again, going back to Tuscany, I don't know why I'm obsessed with it, but it's kind of it's what's in my head. But it then becomes part of a kingdom. So, it doesn't stop being a monarchy. It's absorbed into another one. And so you could do some really interesting things about kind of the very, very long history of monarchical systems and the way that they have adapted and changed throughout history.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think that's one of the reasons that I am really most attracted to the study of monarchy. And I regularly kind of, when you get the kind of doubters or whatever who go, why do you study, why do you do royal studies? I mean, monarchy is a system that's been with us from, the earliest ages to the present day. And it's because it's continued to evolve and change and reshape, et cetera. So I completely agree with you. Thinking about that kind of evolutionary process of monarchies is a really exciting aspect. That's fantastic. So, Erica, a question for you. I know that obviously, there are lots of different formats for books, short form, long form, monographs, edited collections. Do you have particular, are you guys hoping to take in all of those forms? Or are you looking more particularly for monographs or what kind of options are available?
So I would say definitely essay collections and definitely monographs. Short form can be a little bit difficult. AUP does have a restriction that we don't publish books that are shorter than 50,000 words. And there are other kinds of books that can be very attractive but also challenging. For example, translations, because in addition to all the usual challenges that come up with publishing, you also have to find funding for the translation itself, and sometimes there are complications with if the previous publisher, if the publisher of the original edition requires a royalty or some kind of fee, the economics of scholarly publishing are so tight that that can be more than we can necessarily extend to. But we absolutely do welcome essay collections and monographs in the first instance, and we're open to talking about other possibilities such as editions.
No, that's really, really helpful to know, kind of looking, thinking about what's kind of inside and outside the kind of bounds of the series. That's fantastic. So if someone's really keen and they've got an idea or they want to kind of, explore a possibility with you, what's the best way to start the ball rolling? Do you prefer kind of informal approaches or would you like them to kind of start to work on a formal proposal in the first instance? What's the best way to kind of put an idea forward for you both?
I'm ha happy to field kind of informal inquiries, but sort of anything more than that should go to Erica.
Yes, I think it's a great idea to run any informal ideas past Aidan in the first instance. At the point at which a prospective editor is serious about submitting, the earlier I can be involved in the process, the better. I don't have any intention of interfering in the content discussion, but sometimes there are practical issues that it's really helpful for me to know about and for me to be able to flag for authors in the first instance. Usually these have to do with a text extent that is over or under what we can comfortably cope with, or issues to do with illustration. So these are sort of practical elements that can cause problems later in the process. So in order to head off any kind of disappointment or consternation at a later stage, I would like to be involved from point at which we start discussing the project in its full form, including the text extent and illustrations program.
No, that's really, really helpful to know. That really, you're right. That is, better forewarned is forearmed of any potential kind of issues. And I'm glad you brought up illustrations as well, because one of the questions I was going to ask you, Erica, is that I know, given your passion for art history or the art her story, et cetera, are you really keen to bring out subjects relating to art history and visual culture? I know culture is one of the kind of names in the book series. Is that, I know illustrations can be an issue. Do you see a natural home for kind of art historical subjects here?
I definitely think that there are people who work on monarchy who probably take a visual studies approach, and we certainly would not want to not include them. There can be challenges with the economics. It might require subvention funding to support a book that has a heavy illustrations program, but we certainly wouldn't rule it out in principle. And I know that there are scholars who look at how monarchy presented itself in visual form in its own place and culture, but also sort of globally. And I think that's really an interesting aspect to explore. So I certainly would not want to rule that out.
No, I completely agree with you. I think there's been some fantastic works on the kind of visual representation of monarchs. I know with my own queenship students, we often talk about the ways in which women represent themselves, not just in portraiture, but on coins and seals and all sorts of kind of visual media. So, yeah, so I think that that's a potentially rich vein, really. Yeah, no, that's really, really helpful to know. Now, one of the things I was really excited about as well is that you noted that you particularly wanted to transcend traditional geographic and cultural, sorry, geographic and chronological boundaries. So, how will you encourage authors to do that? Or how will you encourage authors that are working outside of the kind of comfort zone of kind of traditional kind of silos or regions, et cetera, to kind of come and publish in the series?
I think there's sort of two answers to that. The first is, as long as it's pre-modern monarchy, we're interested. So it doesn't really matter what country, what background, what culture, we're interested. So you don't have to worry about the series only publishes on Western Europe, for instance. There's no restrictions like that. But again, as I said earlier, thinking about, what does a monarchy actually mean, and how that meaning, while we is recognizable, it is different, different cultures around the world throughout history, and so as long as you are working on something that's vaguely monarchical, we want to see it.
Brilliant, brilliant. And I'm so excited that, again, you're really trying to kind of push out the boundaries. I mean, I guess one of the things that really struck me when I started looking at monarchy in a global context is we know it so well in the context of medieval and early modern Europe, but that's a Christian monogamous framework. And the rest of monarchy doesn't work like that at all. So we've been studying this anomaly really intently, and it's about time we kind of broke it out and started bringing in more of the norm. So I'm really excited that you guys are keen to do that. That's fantastic. Now, I was going to ask you guys just to kind of round up, what do you feel is missing in the field of royal studies, or what kind of research do you think we need to see more of in the field, and that you want to kind of be a home that for this series to be a home for?
I am personally very interested in when stuff goes wrong with succession, which, working on Elizabeth I might sound a bit odd. But you know, the fact that she spends a whole reign sort of refusing to deal with the question of succession is itself really interesting. And you know, there are plenty of monarchies where there are contested successions. And while I'm not suggesting we want kind of alternative histories, you can definitely look at the way that these moments of confusion or concern are handled, and how people kind of theorize what ends up happening. Because again, one of the things that's particularly clear about monarchy is that so many of the quote unquote rules are made up after the fact to justify something that's already happened. And so when you are applying these things sort of backwards, what are you saying both implicitly and explicitly about what's just happened and what you're trying to justify?
No, I completely agree with you. And succession is what drew me into queenship studies in the first place. So I'm totally on board with that. How about you, Erica? What do you think is really kind of missing in the field, or what do you think we need more of?
I'm going to answer that question as just sort of a subjective preference on my part. I think that Aidan had a really good idea in making sure to include way that pre-modern monarchs and issues to do with monarchy are addressed in the present. So that is to say, the series is to do with pre-modern monarchy, but it does not rule out the possibility of looking at how we in the present or how people in the 19th century looked at and presented monarchs after their lifetime. I think that's really interesting and will be very fruitful.
I do too. It kind of brings in the whole issue of kind of memory studies. And I think that that's another really dynamic area. No, I think that's great that you guys are looking at that, even if pre-modern monarchy is the key focus, like you said, that kind of leaking into the modern era in terms of how we reflect back on the pre-modern is really exciting. I can't, honestly, I'm super excited. When I heard about this series, I was just, all my kind of light bulbs went off. It was really, really fantastic. I know that this series will be a wonderful forum for publishing the kind of latest and greatest in royal studies. And I'm really excited to see kind of the titles that are attracted to the series and that are coming out. So please do keep us posted on upcoming publications, and hopefully we'll be seeing flyers at Kings and Queens and other Royal Studies events coming up in the future. Thank you so much, Aidan and Erica, for taking the time out of your busy schedules to come and talk to us today about this new series. And congratulations to you and your fellow editors for putting this new series together. Thank you so much for coming on board the Royal Studies podcast today.
Thank you,
Thank
Ellie.
you.